The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Now we know that five more people are confirmed dead. So that death toll, 220 plus. And as you have private rescue crews across the region, citizens, farmers, and people coming from across the country with any kind of equipment to try to help by plane, by vehicle, walking, even by mules, as they try to make these life-saving rescues and say, where is this administration? As you heard earlier, at least one of those survivors saying, this administration doesn't care about us. As far as this is on the campaign trail, as far as former President Donald J. Trump, where is he? I know he has an event in North Carolina this evening benefiting and speaking directly to veterans, but we know that he's also meeting with Georgia's governor there, Kemp, and that'll be happening today before coming here to Pennsylvania, to Butler, tomorrow. Do we have Elizabeth? Yes, Elizabeth Pipko, GOP national spokesperson. Good morning, Elizabeth. Thanks for joining me.
Of course. How are you?
I'm doing great. We are all excited for tomorrow to have a great day. The weather's going to be beautiful. We're in the high 70s, a lot of sunshine, and let's say hopefully a lot of safety and increased security. Are you concerned about security tomorrow because in essence, you know, we're all returning to the scene of the crime, if you will, the attempted assassination and the shooting of former President Trump, as well as the shooting and killing of our former firefighter, fire chief, Corey Comparator?
I have to be honest, I'm not thinking about security. I think it's kind of the mentality we try to keep here, just like President Trump always does. It's about moving forward and making sure that Donald Trump is able to say what he needs to say to the American people, that we're able to properly mourn the life of Corey Comparator, like you said, that Donald Trump can raise his fist in the air and come back and make sure the American people feel safe about the country that they live in. I have full confidence in Secret Service, knowing what they've done since then, knowing how much effort they're putting in to keep President Trump safe, as well as, of course, all of us wanting his supporters to be safe and anyone that attends any political event in the United States, right? Because this should never, ever have happened. And we should make sure, of course, regardless of what side politically you lean on or anything else, that this is never happens again in the United States of America. But I think tomorrow is about strength. It's about a proper goodbye and an honoring of the life of Corey Comparator, and it's about putting the American people first and showing them that we cannot be afraid. We have to fight evil only with strength, right, not with hiding.
Yes. I do want to get to the storm aftermath and these numbers. It's a tragic situation, as far as President Trump being down there before the current administration, by the way. But I want to talk about something because we just had our schools off and our communities, our synagogues protected with either local police or private security during Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. You, Elizabeth Pipko, also a co-founder of what's known as the Jexodus movement to try to, you know, enlighten, let's say, American Jews from the Democrat, traditionally from voting Democrat, and thinking about what's happening in light of Israel and the policy of this administration with regard to Israel, and then as well the anti-Jewish protests that we've seen on college campuses across the nation, including right here in Philadelphia, where I'm broadcasting from.
Yeah, look, it's a lot to unpack. Mm-hmm. I hope everyone remembers, obviously, October 7th on Monday is the one-year anniversary of that horrific day. For those who don't know, it was the worst day when it comes to the loss of Jewish life that we've had since the Holocaust. 1,200 people were slaughtered that day, including Americans, right, which we should never forget. We obviously have to support Israel as our ally in their fight against terrorism, but people should also remember that Americans were targeted that day as well. Americans are still targeted as they are still being held by these terrorists in Gaza for almost a year, right? Monday will be a year. So I hope people understand that what's happened in this country with the rise of anti-Semitism is something I never thought I'd experience in my lifetime, knowing that after October 7th, when I had to watch that footage and cry with, you know, fellow Jews around the world, that I would wake up and see right outside my window people my age and younger marching with Hamas flags, burning the Israeli and American flags. I just never thought I would see that in my lifetime, let alone after a day like that. So I think it is a sign that we are upside down, truly, as a society. We've regressed, right? I love when the Democrats say Donald Trump is taking us backwards. The only thing I've seen right now that's backwards is everything that's happened under this administration, everything that the left has tried to instill in young people, everything that people are kind of obsessing over right now. It is the absolute opposite of everything that we love, stand for, and value in this country. I don't think anything shows that more so than the reaction to October 7th, because any other time when you saw our ally have an attack like that, when you saw terrorists get away with something like that, when you saw your own Americans held hostage by terrorists for a year, the United States would have acted differently. Our people, our leadership, everyone would have acted differently. The world is upside down, and so is our country right now, and it is so tragic to have to witness.
And so today, Donald Trump visiting North Carolina. So what can we expect to see as far as the former president in North Carolina and in this, you know, storm-ravaged area? Because this is obviously his, is it his second or third visit? I lose track. But he's back today, and I think this is the first face-to-face meeting that he'll have. Is that correct with Kemp? Is that right?
I believe, yes. People have talked quite a bit about their relationship, mm-hmm. and I think people should remember in times of tragedy like we're in right now,
yeah.
none of that matters. Donald Trump is always ready to meet with whoever he has to meet with, to go wherever he has to go, to make sure he's there for the American people. Like you said, he's heading to North Carolina today. He's taking off in a little bit, actually. Like you said, he was already there. We actually also launched our Women for Trump tour on Wednesday this week. I was in Atlanta, Georgia with Laura Trump, Sage Steele, Tulsi Gabbard, Lynn Patton, and Danica Patrick, who joined us. We donated thousands of food items, non-perishable items, blankets, hygiene items, things that people needed after the storm. We're going to continue to do that. That's what Donald Trump inspires in all of us. He will also do the same. So just stay tuned. He has a town hall, I believe, at 7 p.m. tonight, but he will be doing quite a bit before that as well.
I saw that Ivanka Trump, there was a headline in the Charlotte papers that Ivanka Trump flew to Hickory, North Carolina, and she was helping to donate Starlink devices to people. So that's the first time I've seen Ivanka maybe in a large role like this. Is she part of this Women for Trump? Is that part of it?
It is not. That was her own initiative.
That was her own.
We obviously welcome her anytime. We're excited to see her soon, I'm sure. But people should realize that everyone on Team Trump, whether they're family or friends or staff or supporters, we all just want to help. And there's a way that people like to portray those that work for Donald Trump or support Donald Trump in the media. And I hope people realize, especially now, that could not be further from the truth.
So speaking of Women for Trump, Melania Trump, Mrs. Trump, the former first lady, making some big headlines, Elizabeth, with that audio drop and then all of the conversation about her stance in apparently, you know, supporting My Body, My Choice type initiatives. Just your reaction from your perspective on did you know that was coming?
So I did not know that was coming. That was put out completely by her own team, which is separate from our campaign, mm-hmm. obviously, operation that we have. I will say, I hope anyone listening decides to actually buy the book and read it for her own statements, right? Because every media headline you read is not always our reality or mm-hmm. the truth. And I hope people want to hear from her and not from the media choosing to twist her words or report them however they choose. But I will say, this is a free country, right? Donald Trump always said this should go back to the states, because people in America do not share the same views on an issue that is so powerful in both negative and positive ways, depending on how people are looking at it. This is an incredibly important issue. It's one that tears families apart. Donald Trump talks very often about how he wants to bring people together on this issue, because it has divided our country in so many negative ways over the last few years. So I know people that disagree. I have no problem with anyone that disagrees. And I think it only shows even more so why Donald Trump choosing to put in the effort to make sure this went back to the states is really the American way for every single issue that might divide us in this country, but should not.
So I remember that Trump had said that former President Trump had said at one of his rallies, oh, I haven't read my book. Hopefully she says nice things about me. And so is that something that, because there are now, you know, all of these theories are coming out with some of the daytime shows. Oh, there's a rift. But now Trump says, I'm not going to tell my...
I think she hates him.
Yeah, there it is. And so all these different theories. My theory on this is, in my humble opinion, and I said it earlier this morning because I'm on since 6 o'clock this morning, that I think it muddies the waters, if you will, to change a media narrative. And that is hard to do, to change a media narrative. But it changes the narrative that, A, Trump tells his wife what to think and what to do, number one. But number two, it changes the narrative from the aspect of, oh, you know, these people don't have diversity of thought within this issue. Is that something for you, Elizabeth Pipko, that you would agree with? Are you guys talking about this or what?
Look, I would certainly agree with the fact that if we saw something like this from the left, it would be celebrated as diversity of thought in a relationship, right? That I 1,000% agree with, and I hope everyone remembers that because that was a very good point. Look, I think people should understand she's her own person. I don't believe any of the nonsense people make up about their relationship. Yeah. It is nobody's business, and she was on Fox News multiple times in the last week talking about everything that her husband has been through, that the campaign has been through, talking about how she supports him and how much she knows he wants to make this country great again. So clearly those that are saying whatever they want to say have not watched that and are doing a lot of limited research to try to push their own narratives. The fact is her own person. She was a wonderful first lady. I know that she wants President Trump to be back in the office of the presidency. She wants him to be back leading this country. I'm sure she wants to be first lady again. And I hope more than anything people can be inspired that there is diversity of thought in relationships, in political parties, in mm-hmm. families. And what brings us back together is that we're all Americans that want the best for each other, no matter what. And I do believe that what you said is true. If it was on the other side, it would actually be celebrated.
Elizabeth Pipko, thank you so much. We look forward to the next conversation. Thanks for all you do. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. So listen, we will talk. We can talk more about that topic. Dan is working hard to get some, you know, more interviews and updates. There's so much breaking, so much developing. We got it all here for you. Don't go away. Be right back. Excitement building as tomorrow, if you're lucky enough to have tickets, lucky you, Philly's hosting the Mets for the start of the NLDS. We're in it. We're in it to win it, right? So exciting. A lot of, we got our Phillies merchandise, sweatshirt, got the rally towel. It's so exciting. Pre-game parties, a lot of food. It's going to be a great weekend here in Philadelphia. And then, of course, in Pennsylvania, Butler, Pennsylvania. Look forward to former President Trump, Elon Musk. I know Dave McCormick will be there as well, and so many dignitaries as they are celebrating and commemorating, you know, the death, but as well as celebrating the life of former Fire Chief Corey Comparator in Butler, Pennsylvania tomorrow. That's 5 o'clock at night. There are also questions about what happened as a Philadelphia police officer, off-duty officer, was involved, and they're calling it involved in an off-duty, you know, there was an officer-involved shooting. That's not the headline I would have. I always look at this, you know, from being from a TV news background and some of the TV stations, an officer-involved shooting. Well, it appears that you have a Philadelphia police officer who's off-duty in plain clothes in his non-marked vehicle, and a carjacker, you know, tried to, you know, threaten him with a gun or shoot him or whatever and carjack him, and so he defended himself. I mean, that's what the inside story is, allegedly, that happened here, but that'll never be in the headlines. I'm glad the officer is okay. Non-life-threatening injuries. As far as the other guy, the alleged suspect, was shot and is now in very critical condition. So if you're wondering in the Northeast, Holm Avenue, Willits Road in Northeast Philadelphia, if you're wondering what was going on, because they did have road closures around that intersection, that's what was going on. So just to give you the heads up. But the other story that hit last night, as I say, the dock workers going back to work and are back to work early this morning after the dock workers, the port strike has ended amid a suspension of the strike. So it's a tentative deal. And I asked you earlier, do you believe that maybe the fact that we were getting the response from different governors, but especially under the leadership of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and we played it earlier, we don't have to play it again, where he said at his direction, National Guard working with state police, there will be zero interruption as far as unloading and delivering these needed supplies that are life-saving supplies, with Florida especially being one of those hard-hit states, Northern Florida. And so we'll go through it. But the strikers celebrating this tentative agreement, they're talking about, and in the headlines again, 62% pay raise. That is over a six-year period, okay? And so they still, when you think about $39 an hour they're making right now, in these jobs. $55 is the average of their West Coast counterparts. And so at what point, so maybe by a year or so, they'll be up to the level of their West Coast counterparts. The West Coast guys and gals are still making more money. That's the bottom line that as I look at this, it's a tentative deal. And then the real question, what about the automation, the so-called, you know, automation, robots, whatever you want to call it, replacing those jobs? How do they deal with that? So it's good for all of us as far as keeping the economy growing. By the way, we have a jobs report that's coming out. I have to note that to myself and to Dan. So let's go through it. What have you got? Are we going to be affected by this, Dan Borowski? It was a 3-day strike. We're hearing from the current administration that, oh, we're really not going to feel the effects of it. Or will we?
Yeah, so U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom appeared with Maria Bartiromo and discussed the impact that it would have had on meat and noting that even the short, brief nature of what happened would indeed have an effect. Take a listen.
So, yes, the East Coast and Gulf Coast ports are essential to our business, without a doubt. About 45% of the waterborne exports on pork go through these ports, and about a third of our pork is exported, so vital in regards to the pork industry. And on beef, about 30% of the waterborne exports go through these ports, servicing all over the world, but specifically markets like Central America, the Caribbean, South America, Chile, Colombia, the Middle East, also to Europe, and even over to Asia. So I can't understate the importance of or overstate the importance of these ports for our supply chain in general.
So when do you expect people are going to start feeling this, that they're going to start understanding that they cannot get beef or pork at the store any longer because it's stuck on a ship and it's no longer good, it's perishable?
Yes, I think the congestion, the impact is already happening. We just maybe haven't seen it yet, but we're seeing it within our supply chain. I mean, the exporters that are exporting the product are already working on rerouting product to the West Coast, for example. I think that's only a short-term solution because we're already hearing reports of delays into the West Coast. So the supply chain is very efficient, but when you take out roughly half of our capacity to export containerized ship, the impact is real. The impact is now.
So the impact is now. So with meat and some perishables, I think it's fair to say there will be some ripple effect and perhaps higher costs. I also know they were trying to fly things in so things wouldn't spoil. And so then we all pay for that. And this could have been averted. It could have been avoided. I'm not going to put down the union or the union boss because they're looking at all this Ukraine money. They're looking at all the money we're giving everybody else, and they're thinking, you know what? We want to get ours. This is affecting us the next 6 years. So I'm not going to put them down because I think they wanted to, have this on the books and the deal done in June. I think part of this is, again, a failure by this administration to keep your eye on the ball.
To your point on Mornings with Maria, same show. Reporter Jeff Flock was on the ground in the Newark, New Jersey protest.
This is awesome.
It's hard to hear because it's a person recording off their TV, but Maria essentially tells them to turn around and ask the dock workers whether or not they like Kamala Harris, ask them to raise their hands. It's more of a visual, but take a listen. We'll tell you the result.
It's interesting that Kamala Harris has taken a side. I wonder if they support Kamala Harris.
I could ask that question. Maria Bartiromo back in the studio. She said,
okay, just pause it for 1 second, if you would, Dan. I did tweet this out, and I tweeted out the actual air. I'll try to find it. But here's the thing. The initial piece of this is that, here it is. I did this a day ago. So the initial piece of this is that this reporter is out there, and the reporter says to them, do you support your union chief? Do you support Harold? Do you support Harry? And, oh, yeah, he's the best. Aww. And they're supporting their union president, okay? And so so that's the reporter's question. And the reporter now is going to wrap it up and is basically saying, Maria, back to you. And so you've just heard them very vocally support their union president. This is a vocal group. And you hear one of among them, a mom. And she says, look, I'm a single mom. I got three kids. And if you look at her, okay, so what is her take-home pay? Because she lives in the North Jersey area. And she probably makes, I don't know, 75, 80 grand a year with these high costs. And so the take-home, you know, you do the math. And so she's saying, look, all I do is work. And I'm not a mom who has a lot of time to cook with the kids, you know, and she's very real and very vocal. So a very vocal group, if you will. And that's why what's significant here is then the reporter's like, and Maria, that's the latest cheer from the, and Maria Bartiromo, who, you know, well, she's a smart cookie. She used to be, remember they used to call her the money honey back in the day. And then
that's a good name.
And as the young hottie or whatever. And then I guess somebody thought maybe that was inappropriate. She probably loved it. If somebody called her the money honey, she'd probably laugh because I don't think she's triggered or woke or obviously. But Maria, in her wisdom, tells the reporter out there, hey.
I have the full cut now if you want to.
Oh, thank you. This is so good.
Maria Fletches, who has been a crane operator here 25 years, a longshoreman. And I say longshoreman, longshorewoman. I'm not sure if that's correct. Your father was a longshoreman.
He's trying to be all political.
Is that correct? Wait, I got to pause. Is it a longshoreman? Because it's the longshoreman's union.
Here's the thing. I don't think she cares.
Good point.
She's like, yo, Jeff, I've got bigger quijones than you. And you know what I mean? She's a strong, tough lady.
Ring,
you know.
Shoreman, and I say longshoreman, longshorewoman. I'm not sure if that's correct. Your father was a longshoreman. Do you support your president?
100%. 100%. He's
Tell
fighting for us. He's fighting for us. He's fighting for our rights. He's fighting to stop automation. We do not want automation.
Talking about the
union
president.
We work our whole lives here. We want our children to work here. It's a great job. We work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are the heartbeat of America. You know, we're lacking just the way you guys at home are lacking. We don't have cups, we don't have paper, we don't have this, we don't have the other, but we're here. We're fighting for what you need.
They say some people say you make too much money.
No, negative. We're out here in the rain, the sun, the snow, the heat. We're missing a lot of events out of everybody's lives that are close to us.
You have three kids.
Three children, yes.
Raising as a single mom.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. It's hard for them to know that mom's not going to be home cooking dinner. Mom's asleep a lot when we go home. We don't have time for social events. We're just here working.
These workers also point out, Maria, you know, we checked out Mr. Daggett's salary. It's under $1 million, $728,000, I think, at last count. These workers point out that the CEOs of the shipping companies with whom they are now negotiating, multiple millions of dollars in salary. So I would just ask the broad question, support your president? You support your president?
Yes. Yes.
When I say union, you say power.
Listen how loud
union.
They are.
Power.
This is important.
Power! Union!
Power!
100%.
Okay. The hope was
Vocal
to
group.
Affect the resolve of the folks out here, at least among those folks who we're talking to here at the Port of Newark. Not working yet.
I mean, it's interesting it's interesting that Kamala Harris has taken a side.
Here we go.
I wonder if they support Kamala Harris.
Now listen.
I could ask that question. Maria Bartiromo back in the studio. She said, you know, we got a presidential election going on now. I hate to bring this up, but... you support your union guy. Vice President Harris supports the
Looking
strike,
down.
She said. She wanted to know how many folks support Vice
Putting
President
the microphones
Harris.
In their faces.
Any hands? No hands.
Listen to Maria.
Wow.
Okay.
Listen.
It's nobody's business.
It's nobody's business.
So there you go. I tried Maria, and
interesting.
Fine.
Yeah.
There you go.
No one raised their hands.
Nobody.
That's
and they're
very interesting. It's very revealing. And I wonder if that's why Kamala Harris all of a sudden claims that she's on the side of the picket. You know, this is all political. Jeff, thank you.
Yeah. So Maria nailed it. I've always been a fan of her. Smart cookie. She nailed it. This nobody's business. Well, we know what their business is. You heard how vocal they were for their union president and crickets. Thank you, Dan, for Biden Harris. There you have it. We know who they're voting for.
What we've seen thus far, and again, really, this is all in the past 3 years, so a very short amount of time. 25 states have now passed some sort of Fairness in Women's Sports Act, so half the country, which is great news. It presents a wonderful opportunity for the state of Pennsylvania. What we know historically, looking at other issues, cultural or not, really, Pennsylvania has been the state that is able to set the precedent for the rest of the nation, given its political climate, right? It's a purple state. Passing a bill like this, as you said, as we know, based off of the events of 2021, it's never a guarantee. It should be, because it really boils down to common sense and basic biology.
That is Riley Gaines. I was at this great event with her in Montgomery County. My honor to meet her. I still have to tweet out those pictures. But somebody who is going across the country and here in Pennsylvania and working with my next guest. And this is Representative Barbara Gleim, who is somebody who's fighting for girls and women in sports. This is a huge issue. And you may ask yourself, how come this is not getting huge play here in our area or in Pennsylvania? How come? And so, Representative Barb Gleim, thank you so much for joining me. As I saw that you and everybody should follow you on X, on social media, as you say, as you posted some great pictures with Riley Gaines meeting with her this week. And you want to help protect women and girls in sports. And hashtag Fair Play PA, Protect Women's Sports. So you are part of some important legislation. First of all, I should say hi. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Absolutely. Well, no, it's our honor. Thanks for coming on and talking about this. I mean, I know that Riley Gaines was, you know, with you at the Capitol and really trying to inspire local communities to not be intimidated. I mean, that's part of it. And locally here this week, you know, there were people I know that didn't go to the big packed meeting to meet Riley Gaines because they don't want to be out there on social media. They're basically getting bullied or afraid of being bullied. But this is a huge issue with school boards now having to deal with the Biden-Harris administration's Title IX issues. And this is in the upcoming weeks that we have some critical votes and meetings. And so just take me through your piece of this, if you would, the legislation, what people can do, and why you feel so strongly about this.
Well, we started this issue about 3 years ago, basically after the UPenn swimming issue, you know, yes, where Riley was, and all of this really started. There were a group of us who were past athletes and women and thought that this was so unfair. So we introduced House Bill 972, which actually in a bipartisan manner passed the House and the Senate. And it was our Democrat Governor Wolf who decided he knew better than the people, who vetoed it. He had a strong lobby from, you know, the LGBTQ community against our bill, and he basically just vetoed it. We reintroduced it. It's House Bill 216 because we're not giving up. This governor that we have now, also a Democrat governor, has said, you know, I'm going to veto it if it gets to my desk. So the majority party in the House has not even lifted it out of the House Education Committee. But I'm just going to say we're not giving up. It is really an issue of fairness. It's also discriminatory towards women and all of the advances that they've made under Title IX. There are 2.6 million women participating in sports all across the United States right now, and very many in our own state. And you know, as this issue continues, which polls, by the way, 70% agree that, yes, there should not be men in women's sports in Pennsylvania. So it harms women. I mean, physically, you can even see what was going on in the Olympics, in boxing, yes, was ridiculous and unfair. And we can get into all of the reasons why that is, because it also is a doping issue that is unfair at the Olympic level and at the NCAA level, where these men that are playing in women's sports have higher testosterone levels than the women. They are just physically more capable. They are definitely taking you know, opportunities away from women. So I was honored to meet with Riley, and we talked a lot about how we were going to continue our fight in Pennsylvania and making sure that women have their own category to play in, you know, in our sports here.
You know, when we, you know, the last meeting that we just had a few days ago in Montgomery County, to watch the faces of people reacting as they're asking questions to, you know, Riley Gaines, one of the most decorated swimmers, right, in our nation's history, when you look at SEC history and all of that. I mean, so you think of her high level of performance as a swimmer, and the fact that, you know, she talked about how she was bullied by her, the UPenn officials or coaches, whoever that was, that were, they were threatening them essentially with saying, you'll never get a job. This is going to be a dark stain on your career moving forward. And do you really want this? They're going to view you as a hater, a bully. And so somebody at that level, as a high performing athlete who has always been the winner on the podium, if you will, and a very confident individual. And I think people couldn't help, especially some of the moms and grandparents later said, you know, if they could bully somebody like that and intimidate her, and then she's telling her dad, you know, dad, don't get involved, at the same time that she was in a locker room with a, trying to put on a swimsuit in a locker room with a biological male with all of his apparatus on full display, and Paula Scanlon, the same thing, and others. If they feel intimidated, then translate that into what, let's say, a grade school age or high school age girl is going to feel in a local school here, right here in our area. And that's really what these communities and all of us are up against, isn't it, Barb?
It is. They attempted to silence her. They violated her free speech. They violated her right to privacy. I mean, there were so many violations there, and she did not back down. She just decided, nope, this isn't going to happen, and she needed to stand up for the voices of all of those young girls, exactly like what you're saying. And, you know, she's trying to get parents on board to, you know, protect these young girls. But what she also talked about was like it. I don't know if you've gotten the news that San Jose State has a man playing on their women's volleyball team.
Yes.
And now there are four states. Utah State was the fourth school, and they just declined playing San Jose. They were like, nope, we're not going to participate in this. And kudos to those girls and women for standing up to this, you know, awful situation for them, because they know that that man playing was the best man on their team. And we've already had one incident where we had a girl get hurt, you know, who had literally brain damage from a spike from a male in a previous, you know, game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, they're just turning a blind eye to all of that. And it's discriminatory to me. I finally got to the point where, like, this is discrimination against women. We're going to have to fight for it, and we will. We're not going to back down, that women should have their own space. I do want to say one more thing, because I don't know how much time I have. But I have been going around and talking to some school boards, just like you mentioned.
Okay.
And I want your viewers or your listeners to understand one thing, because the solicitors of those school boards and some of the superintendents are saying that, oh, we could lose our federal funding if we don't adhere to this Title IX, you know, edict that has come down from the Biden administration. But I just want them to know that in 54 years of Title IX, not one school ever in the whole United States has lost federal funding because of Title IX.
And so, so what are you saying? They should call their bluff?
Absolutely. Absolutely, they should stand up and say, yeah, we're not going to have that here in our school. Now, we've already won that one lawsuit. I know that Moms for Liberty chapters, you mm-hmm. know, were really involved with that. There are, you know, a lot of other legislation and other lawsuits that are pending because of that. And so we have to wait for that anyway. So I'm saying, number one, wait. Don't, you know, jump the gun here because you don't know how it's going to play out in the courts. And number two, don't worry about losing your federal funding because that's never happened.
And so as far as what's going on with Title IX, and I did mention the issue with what's going on with a transgender individual on an undefeated team. I mentioned that yesterday. I'll update that in a moment. But as far as what people can do right now, how do they sign on? Because there is a way that if they sign on to some of these lawsuits in local school districts, then from what I understand, that school specifically would be exempt. Is that correct?
Yes, if they sign on with or start a Moms for Liberty chapter, or they sign on with their Moms for Liberty chapter that's already in place, yes, their school would be exempt from having to do that. That there's a lot of things that people can do. They can really start writing letters to the NCAA and putting pressure on them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the NCAA has a decision to make, really. What are they going to do? Are they going to prioritize, you know, women and their right to be able to have their own category, or are they going to prioritize that men are going to be able to play in women's sports? So they could get involved that way. They can get involved with their Moms for Liberty chapter. They can get involved in their school board and just write letters or speak up and say, this is not what we want for our girls and women in our, you know, competitive environment at this school. They can sign on or, you know, contact Americans Defending Freedom. There are a lot of different, you know, entities that are fighting this fight.
How do you react to people saying, well, this is just mean or it's phobic against people who are perhaps, you know, in a different in their lives, they're transgender? And so how do you respond? I mean, and I've said repeatedly, just so you know, I am always, everybody knows me, I am kind, I am thoughtful, I want to empower everybody. But at the same point, I don't want one group of people, girls and women, to have to lay down and be stepped on to bring forth or promote the rights of another. How do you answer to that when people say, well, this is just mean and this is really just something that's being phobic?
Yeah, well, I always say the solution isn't to destroy fairness for women in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the solution. And also I say it's not equality to, you know, to pit the physique of a male at birth against a female at birth, you know. And I would just say that it is, it's very unfair to women who have fought their entire lives and have competed their entire lives, and then at the very last minute, they're competing against a male. So it's not, the solution isn't to destroy that fairness. The solution isn't to make it unsafe for women to play in their sport.
Right.
The solution isn't to violate free speech and their privacy in bathrooms and locker rooms. So I would say, and it has been said many times, that maybe there's a separate category, or that those individuals who want to compete in sports compete in a sport that does not violate Title IX for women.
Yes. Is there a pathway? I mean, the NCAA is being sued by, among others, Riley Gaines. She joined in that. But the two young ladies that you referred to, Brooke Slusser, who is the athlete on the volleyball team with the transgender individual co-captain, Brooke Slusser. And so the allegation by Brooke Slusser, who's a biological female, is that she has said not only, you know, is this a safety risk playing with somebody who's so much bigger and stronger than the other girls, but as a college kid, she was forced to live with a biological male and was never warned or asked that she has, you know, because they're rooming in dorms and this and that. And so she's part of that suit. Is it, as a lawmaker, if you have a governor who's a Democrat who's going to veto anything, then as the old saying goes, the lawyers always win. Do you try to smooth the path for lawsuits, for these girls to file these lawsuits against schools or et cetera?
Well, sure, they already can now, yeah. And that's why it's happening, because it is so unfair. And, you know, you could always put pressure on your governor to come up with a solution and rather than just a veto, and that, you know, that is equal for all.
Yes.
And I would say that, you know, we have stories, so many stories now, like Paula Scanlon's story.
Yes.
I did a podcast and we called it In the Broom Closet. Because if you listen to her talk, she actually was so embarrassed about what was happening. They would take turns going into a broom closet to change.
It's horrible. Yeah,
these
I did a great
athletes. Yeah. These are women athletes, you know, that are being made to feel so uncomfortable in their own environment. And that's why it polls at 70%,
yes.
Right? I mean, people agree with this issue.
We do. Barbara Gleim, thank you so much. And member of the House of Representatives here in Pennsylvania, District 199. You know that's a huge district there and huge support by Barbara for our girls and women. Thank you so much. I hope we can continue the conversation.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you very much. Former President Donald J. Trump in the storm-ravaged areas touring that and a little bit of a reunion with Governor Kemp, so making up and putting other things aside, but this is their first face-to-face meeting in a couple of years. And yes, the strike locally and across the East Coast, that is, for now, it's suspended and working out a tentative deal. Frank, my friend in South Philadelphia, I know that is good news to your ears to hear that they've at least suspended their strike.
Yes, I'm so happy. I worked for the docks in three different docks for 15 years, and I'm glad they got their contract, or if they in negotiation with a hourly wage. And it's rough work, particularly around the holidays, wintertime. You're in with snow, rain, whatever. The only time they're not allowed to take any containers or unload or load ships is when the wind is about 30 or 35 miles an hour. They're not allowed to do work at that time. But it is rough work. And I'm glad that they settled a strike. And I was hoping that the port of down there in Florida would send all all that supply would go to the only the states that
need it.
Hurricanes that just destroy these few states.
It's devastating, Frank.
You know, it's devastating, and I'm happy that the private sectors of throughout the country that are going there to help them people down here. And Biden and the three knuckleheads, I call them now, because one minute he's a knucklehead.
Frank, so, my friend, I got to run because the Dom show is almost time for Dom time. But thank you so much. God bless. And, you know, as we certainly say prayers for our friends in the South. And then I'll be doing an event tomorrow, 10 o'clock in the morning, much like you did recently, Dom, just talking about, you know, voting and protect the vote. And with our friend Linda Kearns, so protectthevote.com, we'll be doing a virtual training session. So I'm honored to be a guest, much like you did, Dom.
Yeah, great stuff. 90% of them, I think, are our listeners. Dawn, we've been tracking this guy, trying to find him, and he turns up. He's our East Palestine guy. This is the guy we brought on that had a show on Twitter and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Right in the belly of the beast. Well, he's in North Carolina now, and he's got a lot to report about Starlink and a bunch of other things. And Scott Presler, I think, comes on for a applause today, a brief, because
victory lap.
He did get the maintenance thing taken down from the state website.
Wonderful. Great news. Dom show starts right now.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.